Talk Shoes. Recorded live.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. Hello, guys. Welcome to another episode of the www.householdstress.com talk show. It is brought to you by the head of households. That would be Mr. Rodney, Mr. Tony, and myself. We come to you every single week to not only just have men get on this phone and talk about their life and their relationships and their marriage, but to end up helping each other out in some type of way to keep it. Because our goal is, at the end of the day, is to make sure that marriages never fail. So if we can help each other out, that's the purpose of this call. And we want to continue to do that every week, Wednesday, till we know that there's nobody going to divorce court anymore.
Word.
Hey, thank you. But tonight's topic, it's a little difficult than what it's a little difficult to really talk about. It's a little different than what we usually talk about weekly, because just like somebody said a few minutes ago, I'm getting on this call because I want to report a crime. I want to write a police report because I know that what just happened to me just can't happen. This has to be an illusion, a mirage, because this can't happen to me. And I want to say, if you're not going through it, I guarantee you, you know somebody who is going through this or seen it somewhere in your life. Our topic tonight is, are you a real-life victim of a marriage scam? Is it true love or a marriage fraud? Let me say that again. Are you a real-life victim of a marriage scam? Is it true love or marriage fraud? Have you ever been bamboozled, hoodwinked, cheated on, left for, at the altar, at your house, brokenhearted, faked out, crossed up, whatever? I mean, you think of it. Have you ever been that? Man, did this happen to me? I don't know what, you know, what's going on. This person that I met is not the same person I thought they were. Well, let's talk about it. Have you ever thought your wife is going to be one way and she turns out to be another? My question to the audience tonight is, did you marry the representative?
I think 95.5% of us did.
95.9%. Oh, man. I wasn't ready for that one. You got to explain that one, man.
I'm just saying, man. I think the majority of people that got married married the representative.
And just minutes ago, dive teams.
Are you serious?
I believe it. I believe it. And then we have to make a choice. Are we prepared to be happy when the real person stands up?
But I mean, if you've gone through the courting.
Yeah.
Is it your fault that we married the representative? Because if you court her, you know that person, right?
You know
or
what they want
not,
you to know.
Huh?
You know what they want you to know.
You're talking, you're getting to know them, you're having that good conversation, that good communication. You're supposed to know this person by now, right?
When you say by now, what do you mean by now?
Because I'm saying you spend time with this person daily. You start to learn their wants, their needs. You start getting closer to them, getting effective with, you know, having more affection for them. You start to meet their parents and see everything that they do. You understand their emotions. And then you get to a point where you say, all right, I'm ready. I'm ready to get married. Will you marry me? She says yes. You get to the altar. Both of you say I do. Come on, man.
And then 6 months later, all the baggage comes out that you didn't know about.
But
I'm just saying,
like,
they don't unpack the bags right away. The bags aren't unpacked right away.
But I gotta say, is it because I know, you know, as men, sometimes we said it, your grandma and probably said it to you, boy, you're wiping your nose wide open. You need to slow down. But you're at the point where you're not looking at the person that you're married. You're not really seeing who that person is. You're just seeing the outside of that person. Is that what it is?
Well, you know, I mean, if you're talking to men, yes, we are visual. We're definitely visual. But, you know, again, there's stuff that won't come out. Because if it, I mean, there's potential deal breaker material that will not come out until after the deed is done. Period.
Mm. Deal breakers. Can you explain? Can you go a little further?
I mean, you know, there's deal breaker stuff, man. There's, you know, there's things that she'll do, or, you know, during the courting stage that she don't like to do. But that's courting stuff. Courting stuff is acceptable. But once the deed is done, yeah, I don't really like to do that anyway. I was just, you know, trying to make you happy.
Oh, so, you know, when you come over to her house, she fix you dinner.
That could be one of them for some people. You know? How you know she fixed it? if you walk in there and it's already laid out on the, you know, on the table, how you know she cooked?
Yeah, I know that. I think the first meal that my wife cooked when we were dating, I think it was like peas and rice or something. I mean, but it was terrible.
Yeah, yeah,
it was terrible.
But that's not a deal breaker, though. That's not a deal breaker because she's telling you, look, I can't cook, but I'm going to try. That's all right. I can live with that.
Right.
Now, wait a minute. I'm going to be honest with you. We all know your mama told you that, you know, you need to find a girl to cook. And
yes.
Then all the mamas have told the girls the way to a man is through his stomach.
Yes.
Then why is it you get with a girl that can't cook?
That's your fault. Your grandma told you.
Yeah, that's a myth.
What's a myth?
That the way to a man's heart is through his stomach. I think that's a myth.
You don't care if she can cook or not?
Listen. Make those big to make that big toe turn sideways. We can make reservations.
But wait a minute, you brought up a good point, and that's why we're having this conversation tonight. Is it because we didn't let that big toe curve to the left half our problem? Is that we put that first in front of everything that this person is all about?
I'm not going to say that we put it first, but you can't sit there and say it's not important, that it doesn't rank pretty high.
Doesn't rank pretty high. Well, listen, I don't want to get into that one right now, but I do got a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if this has happened to anybody on this phone, but if it hasn't, everybody, I believe, knows somebody this has happened to. Have you ever got married just so that person can have citizenship in America?
Man, my coworker was talking about that today. Wow.
I know people that have done it.
Have you, like immigration, because, you know, they got these immigration laws, and we got, you know, we're in the land of the free. If you go to New York, there's a lot of Puerto Ricans. You go down south, you got a lot of Haitians, Cubans. You go anywhere, you got different cultures. different ethnic backgrounds, and you meet a nice young lady, and they get ready to kick her out of the United States. Your visa is up. But she done made your toes curl. So you said, you come up with the plan and say, hey, I'll marry you. Not because I love you, but because I want you to keep my toes curl.
Yeah, but, you know, that's for the wrong reasons then.
Right.
But don't you see a lot of people get married for that one reason?
Yep.
Yeah, but that's not wise. That's for money.
Mm-hmm.
Well, most of those are financial.
Mm-hmm.
It's an arrangement.
Yeah, but don't you think some women do that? They set brothers up?
Yeah.
And
all that I owe, he'll marry me. I'll get my citizenship. Then I'll drop him like a butterfly. And the reason why I say that, because I knew some guys who have been in the armed services who go overseas and meet a young lady, and they want them to come back with them. And come to find out that this woman really didn't love this man, but they just wanted to get to America and get to a place where they can better themselves, but it's not really with that man. When that man has fallen deeply in love with him. Isn't that what you would call a marriage fraud?
Absolutely. And I know that actually, I know a situation where the opposite happened, where they were getting married, you know, for the green card or whatever, and they ended up falling in love. And they're still married today. But the whole, you know, initial purpose of them getting married was somebody wasn't legal. You know, so they went through the process and like, hey, you know, let's do this little plan, and they end up staying together. You know, so it's kind of odd. And I guess they put the cart before the horse. You know, they did everything backwards. They were like, all right, we married, we might as well make it work. You know, so. And then you got arranged marriages and. In other cultures where the people don't even meet up, you know, until a wedding day or whatever. And they last.
Let's talk about arranged marriages, because that, you know, it was funny, because I was telling folks at work, you know, hey, you need to get on this call because I'm talking about this. And they say, you know what, I know some guys who have done that. But I work with a lot of folks that their marriages were arranged. In different cultures, the parents picked the bride for the group.
Uh-huh.
Is that something that you would want, is somebody to pick your bride for you?
No.
And not have a choice?
Nope. I mean, I think that's the whole, you know, point of what we're talking about tonight, is that you go through the whole courting stage, you know, the dating process, so you can, you know, weed them out and, you know, find the one. And if your parents find the one, then that's who they want. And I think you can grow to love that person, sure. You know, I'm sure your parents have your best interests at heart. But, again, you know, I think it's for the person to choose. I mean, that's just me.
Anybody else?
I agree with him. I think it's a crock. Anytime you want to choose somebody's life mate, you set them up for failure.
What?
And then they end it for the wrong reason, and they stay in it for the wrong reason. And then you have to manufacture love.
Mm.
And I think when you do that, that's always a rough road to take.
That's good words.
It is good words.
Manufacture.
Yeah.
I think you said something key where you stay in it for the wrong reasons. But, I mean, I don't know about y'all, but they don't look unhappy, you know, folks in arranged marriages. I mean, and the divorce rate is less less than our culture. And, you know, granted, they, and I think that's you know, solely because they look at marriage totally different from the way we look at marriage, is where, you know, we get married and we've introduced in our culture a prenuptial agreement. You know, so when you do leave, you know, you got your assets or whatever you came for. So, you know, we almost look at it, whereas, you know, we know this ride is going to end at some point. So let me prepare in advance for the ride to end, so it won't be, you know, a shock to anybody. Whereas they just like, all right, well, you know, mom, dad, pick this person out. This is who I'm gonna be with till death do us part.
Yeah, I don't really think that the prenuptial agreement is a part of our culture, because most of us don't have it, don't do it. I think maybe even 10% of the marriages, maybe 10% have prenuptials in this country.
Mm.
And those are people with some cash that are, just like you said, they got something to protect.
Right.
You know, but the average of a, you know, average couple like us, you know, we're not bringing much.
Yeah, you're not bringing much.
So it is what it is.
You want to bring it up together, right? You know.
Exactly. You know, we think about life insurance. That's our thing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just make sure you have some life insurance or somebody will be all right if one of us die.
Yep.
That is good. Well, just moving right on along, anybody else got anything about citizenship or prearranged marriages? Because isn't that... I mean, before we move on, let me just ask this one question, because I never understood this. And
let me ask a question.
Okay.
Let me just ask a question. And, you know, this may be out in left field, but what's the difference from a prearranged marriage, right, or a female that has been brought up to marry a certain type of man with a certain type of job, a certain type of income, a certain type of car, you know, a certain type of predetermined future.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? She's bred to look out to be a somewhat of a gold digger, somewhat, or to look for a certain type of person. So the average Joe that may be able to fulfill all of her needs is going to get passed over.
Stability. I call it stability, because I'll be the first to admit that that's the way I'm training, you know, teaching my daughter. Is that not only do you need to have independence for yourself, but you need to find a new man that's going to be, you know, that you'll be stable with. That's not going to get in any trouble. That's not going to harm the unified unit that you create, you know. That's not going to take over and try to abuse you. You got to be smart when you're picking these men.
Basically,
okay.
Like a head of household.
Employed versus not employed?
That is correct.
Employed versus employed.
Gainfully
garbage
employed.
Garbage man versus... a doctor?
Well, for me, that I don't care.
Oh, okay.
I just want a man that's going to treat my daughter right. And not only that, make sure that they, you know, they ain't living on the street. But they ain't living in the, you know, they ain't living where there's gunfire every day, too.
Gotcha.
So, I mean, basically, I mean, it's prearranged. To the point where you don't have a lineup of dudes that have fit the bill, and you're, you know, reducing it to these few guys that, you know, still up to her to choose somebody that, you know, you've raised her to, you know, and hopefully to be, you know, like you, head of household, taking care of the family, doing the right thing and all that stuff.
Yeah.
But just not saying, okay, you know, this guy, little Johnny, that's the one for you, you know, so.
Yeah. Well, the one thing about it is that, I mean, you want a man who can do things, even if he's an entrepreneur, you want that guy. However, you don't want the guy who is a pharmacist but doesn't have a pharmacy degree, if you know what I mean.
Understood.
You know, because that brings gunfire and that brings drama into the home.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, but like Rodney was saying.
But he could be a good guy.
No.
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 But he just picked the wrong.
No, that don't make him a good guy.
You don't think so?
No. If you're selling drugs, you're not a good guy. Period. Period. Somebody's family is being destroyed because of your work. You know, I mean, every day. You know, and most drug dealers say, well, if they don't get it from me, they're going to get it from somebody. It might as well be me. You know, but like Rodney was saying, we set the example. We set the lifestyle standard for them. You know? So when somebody comes along bringing half of it, hopefully they'll be like, nah, I'm not used to this. We can't roll this way. This is what I'm accustomed to. You know? Your daughter is probably going to look for you in her husband.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you want.
Good, but let's say that she gets scammed. That this man who's supposed to be showing this stability, supposed to have this nice job, who's supposed to be ready to take the family, gets in the house and walks all over.
Yeah.
Now you live in the what? You live in a marriage fraud. You got with the person. And you gave your whole self up for the
I would hope that she would have some wisdom to pick that up. And if not, that somebody around her would have some wisdom to point that out. Be like, yo, you know this dude's a con artist, right? You know
uh-huh.
Everything he's telling you, you know, it's not all it's cracked up to be. And but granted, you know, women fall for that. So do men sometimes. And then they get into it, like you said, and, I mean, then it's too late, you know. They're in a situation where it's like, man, I've been defrauded. You know,
yeah.
Who is this person?
Yeah.
So how do we get defrauded?
Yeah. I mean, it's just like abuse. You know, you're dating somebody, you don't know they're abusive.
Right.
You know, they cover it up. They mask it for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then they get comfortable, you know, and see, you know, find your weaknesses and all that stuff. And it happens to men. I know some men that just get abused by their wives, you know, and they didn't see it coming, you know. But it's not just physical. It could be emotional. It could be verbal, name calling, accusations, you know, all that stuff, you know, drive you crazy.
I think that, you know, they could see that. It was evident, but they didn't really think it was a big deal, you know, back in the courting stage.
Exactly.
Because it just, you know, I don't believe it just pops up. You know, it's like, all right, we're married. Get your butt over here. You know, it just started, you know, the verbal view starts. I think that we're, you know, our vision is clouded with the representative, and we got, you know, all the good feelings and, you know, everything, and it's like, oh, you know, she don't really mean it when she called me a dummy or stupid or, you know, I'm an idiot or whatever the case may be.
Yeah.
You know, they would just look past that.
Yeah, yeah. And that's what I mean by, you know, the bags aren't unpacked. You know what I'm saying? Because you get into the marriage and they don't tell you everything that's happened in the past. Certain things you don't know about. Certain past relationships that you don't even want to talk about, because like we said before on this call, that was before you.
Right.
But it's good information to know.
Mm-hmm.
You know why, you know, they haven't been able to hold the relationship. Or what happened on their last relationship. You know what I mean? It's like going on a job interview. And this is so important. You go on a job interview. What do you want to know if you're the employer? What happened at your last job? Why did you leave there?
Mm-hmm.
That's
what was the situation? You know what I'm saying? We don't ask that
on that last relationship? Yo, I mean, you know, that should be a question. So how was your last relationship? Why are you not with that person anymore?
Yep.
That's a great question.
That is a valid question.
That probably should be the first question.
I know I never asked.
Yeah, that probably should be the first question.
Yeah, what happened? What, you know, what happened? How was he like?
Right.
You know.
Was it you? Was it him?
Was it you? What happened? You know, and you probably get so much information out of that that'll give you a better assessment of what you're getting ready to get yourself into.
Exactly. Because what if she's like, well, I don't want to tell you. You know, no comment.
Yeah.
Listen,
this is a question we used to ask when I used to be a car salesman, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we would ask, you couldn't ask a person, how's your credit score?
Right.
Just off the break, they coming in. All you want to know is can you buy the car? That's all you want to know. Before you test drive anything, am I wasting my time? Do you have cash? Can I get you finance? That's the only thing you want to know. Not what color, none of that.
Right.
You want to know, can we move forward? But you don't want to insult someone by saying, well, what's your credit score? Because you can't do that. So then you'll ask a series of questions. What bank do you deal with? That's one of them. You know, will you be paying cash? What, you know, and they'll say maybe, you know, Bank of America. And then you may try to find out, well, what bank did you finance your last car with?
Right.
Right, right? So you know the second-chance credit banks and you know the good banks.
Right.
So let's say they say BB&T, right? Mm-hmm. So now you know that they had to get that they got a good credit score to get financed with BB&T, right?
Mm-hmm.
But if then they say something like, yeah, but I don't like BB&T. That's when you know you got a problem.
So you're saying that.
Who doesn't like a bank unless they're not calling you, harassing you for their money?
Right.
Period.
Yeah. Yep.
I don't care what bank it is. It could be a loan shark. As long as you're paying your loan shark, they ain't going to call you.
Yep.
You see what I'm saying? So it's the same thing in getting into a relationship. You have to find out, you know, what was their history like?
Yeah.
You know, their dating history. How did it go?
Man, those are good words, man, because you don't never think about that, man. I know I did.
I didn't either.
But, I mean, now that you're saying it, it's like, wow, I didn't think of that before.
Do you teach your daughter, you know, to try to come up with a unique way to say, can you buy this car?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, what's your credit like? Because I don't know if we're going to work out if your credit score is low.
Exactly. There's got to be questions that aren't offensive that you can ask to find out what you're working with.
And speaking of that, I don't know what you have in your stuff there, host, but speaking of that, do we ask, what kind of debt do you have?
Oh, dude.
I mean, let's get into it. Let's talk about it. You know, we're all holding hands and having picnics and going to the movies and going out to eat, like Tony said, making reservations. Go ahead, host. Go ahead.
You forgot what the goal is at the end of the night. I think that's the main reason why men don't, and is not going to ask, what's your credit score? What kind of debt you have?
Yeah.
You kind of just visualize that.
Yeah.
And listen to conversations. And hopefully, you know, when you go to the house, you see a bill or two slipping out there. When you go to the bathroom, you pee.
I flip through it, see the cable bill 2 months late.
Mm-hmm.
Like, whoa, wait a minute.
I'm just being serious, man. I mean,
mm-hmm.
I think we, the whole point of that, just saying that, is that our goals are different. When recording, our goals at the end of the night is always to get in the bedroom. So we're not going to talk about things that is going to
derail
stop
that.
Us. Yeah, from getting in the bedroom.
Yeah.
Yeah, but when you talking about marriage, I mean, if you ain't had that conversation before y'all walking down the aisle about, you know, what the debt scenario, you know, looks like, you know, you may go, like Tony said, to go buy a car and your credit be sparkling, you know, and the wife's there with you and it's like, yeah, we want to buy a car. And you ain't never had that conversation.
Yeah.
You know, they go to the back to the finance manager, you know, and they like, your wife's credit is jacked up.
Mm.
And you like, whoa.
Yeah.
You know.
Or she'd be like, honey, why don't we just put this in your name?
Oh, that's a sign.
That's a sign.
That's a sign.
That's a sign, man. That's a sign. But you can find out, though, you know, if they lived in an apartment, whether they got a mortgage when you meet them.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? What kind of car they're driving, when you go out to dinner, what color is the credit card that they pay with?
Exactly.
Just how they handle their business.
How many credit cards they have.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, yeah, let me, she pulling out two for dinner. Let me put 20 on this one, 13 on this one, and put the tip on this one.
Yeah,
know?
Yeah, that's bad. That's bad.
Or you go to the house, you go to where she's living, and you walk in, and on the answer machine, yes, this message is for Michelle. This is the bill collector. Yeah, we need to talk. I mean, it's like, what? You got bill collectors calling you?
Yeah.
That's a sign.
That's a sign.
And I think a lot of brothers get hemmed up, you know, with the whole debt picture and not even know it. Not even know it because that's the conversation. It's like, oh, yeah, you know, we'll be fine. And it's like y'all get married and it's like, yeah, by the way, I got $300,000 in student loan debt because I've been working on my degree for 10 years.
But, yeah, I mean, especially when it's time to, you know, when you get ready and you're trying to get that house and you go sit down with the bank and they pull your report and they're looking at you.
Yeah, and I'll tell y'all what happened to me, speaking of buying cars, but I had never bought a car before. And I had totaled my car, and we were married. And, you know, so we got our credit scores and everything, and we got the full credit report, I think, from all three agencies, and this was a long time ago, so I think I had to pay maybe $20 or something, I don't know, but anyway, long story short, you know, we go to the dealer, and we already know what's going on as far as the credit scores and the credit history and everything, and the debt picture and the debt load, and we know what we can afford or whatever. So we go and we pick out the car and, you know, sit down with the nice car salesman, and, you know, then he goes to the back. It's like, yeah, I just need to take this information, you know, to my finance manager. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, yeah, you know, go ahead, you know, and I was young. I mean, I was probably, you know, 23, 24 or whatever, and but I was married, you know, at that time, been married a few years, so. But anyway, the car salesman comes back and it says, yo, you know, your credit was fine, but, you know, your wife's, we couldn't pull hers up. She ain't having no information in there. And I was like, man, you're pulling my chain. I didn't say that. That was before I was, you know, I don't know what I said to him, but I was like, you're not telling the truth, brother. Because we've already did the research, you know, on that. And, you know, my wife at that time had more credit than I did.
Right.
You know, had financed a couple cars, you know, and everything. So, and he going to come back and tell me, you know, yeah, we tried to pull it up. You know, we put it in the bureau and, you know, submitted it. Nothing came back. And I said, you need to go run it again. You need to go run it again. Because they were trying to charge me a higher interest rate, you know, since it was just, you know, on me, you know, like Tony said, just in my name.
Yeah.
So, you know, he went back, and, you know, voila, oh, her credit came up. So, you know, because I told her, I was like, don't be pulling my chain, man. I've already done the research. Don't be coming back and say, yeah, you know, we ain't find nothing out, you know. But, you know, back to your point, Mr. Host, we had already had that conversation, you know, before we went to the dealer. You know,
mm-hmm.
we knew what was going to happen, and we had already had that conversation, you know, well before we sitting in the chair ready to do some business, because I could not imagine you not having a conversation about that, you know, before you get there. And even when I bought my last car, I had the financing worked out, but it was complicated because it was at this, it was at another institution, I'll just say it like that. And, you know, for the low interest rate. And, but they had the minimal number of locations. The hours were crazy. Y'all know what kind of institution it was. But anyway, so I go and, you know, get the car and everything, and I only had a certain amount of time to get the vehicle before I had to go to work. In my car, the transmission was about to go any day, so I had to get something, and I was on vacation between, you know, before the new year or whatever, so it was only a few days, and they had told me that, you know, the car being this day, you know, we'll let you know, because I had to get it transferred from another state. And I'd already paid for that and everything. But when it got here, they had to get it inspected and checked out and all that stuff, you know. So then, you know, I'm sitting there waiting, and I only really got one day left because the institution that I was using was closed on New Year's Eve and, of course, New Year's Day. So, you know, the wife is like, won't you call and check since you ain't heard from them? And, you know, at first I was like, no, they'll call me. You know, they'll be all right. And, you know, then she was like, no, you should call because you know you got to go back to work next week and you know you're going to need a reliable car. You know we need two cars because we got two kids and a lot of stuff going on. So, and I, you know, otherwise I would have had to just trust mine until it break or rent a car, and that would have got expensive. So, long story short, you know, we get up there. Well, actually, I did, you know, call the dude. I was like, yo, is the car ready? And he's like, yeah, you know, the car is ready. And, you know, so it was like, it's inspected, it's ready to roll. And I'm just like, why didn't y'all call me? You know what I'm saying? I was hot. So I was like, I'd be up there at 2 o'clock. Mm-hmm. And the institution I was using closed at 4. And it was probably about 20 minutes away. So, again, we've had the conversation, you know, me and the wife. And, you know, everything's hunky-dory. You know, I told her, it was the vehicle. I already seen the vehicle online. You know, I was going to test drive it, you know, still, but I was going to buy the vehicle pretty much.
You already did all the homework.
Yeah, I already did all the homework and stuff. So it was basically like I'm just going to jump in it, ride around the block, and you know, just take it on off the lot or whatever. So long story short, you know, it's taken a long time. And I got there, too, and again, my credit union doesn't close. Oh, did I say that? The institution didn't close. The institution I was using, you know, it closed at 4. And again, this is on December the 30th. So if I didn't get everything squared away that day, you know, literally, it would have been tough because the institution is none of them. All of them like 100 miles away from where I live, you know, and I specifically set up an account just to do the financing, you know, at this institution because the interest rates was crazy.
Oh, they are.
Yeah. Yeah, so, you know, literally got there at 2 o'clock. They couldn't find the vehicle. They had logged it in. It was just transferred from the other state, but they had moved it, you know, back in a corner or something. So first, you know, he was like, is this it? And I was like, that's not it. That's an 09. I said, mine was a 10, you know. And they running around looking for it. So finally they found it. And then, you know, they get it and I test drive it, you know, and all this good stuff. And I'm like, look, I'll take it. You know, let's go. Let's do the deal. So we sit down and, you know, he's getting everything ready and everything. And, you know, everything goes smooth and everything. And I was like, don't even worry about the financing. Just, you know, just give me the buyer's note. And I'll just take it to my institution or whatever, and I'll be back. So long story short, literally, he was going to print the paperwork, and his printer was out of ink. So this guy, I mean, literally is running around trying to get the paper, the buyer's invoice printed up, couldn't get it printed up. You know, he's trying to use another printer. So long story short, it's like 3:45 all this time. And I'm sitting here, I'm like, yo, I've got to go. I was like, look, why don't you just fax the buyer's order over there? Because I got to get my kids up. I got to get the wife. I'm like, you know, take them to the bathroom so we'll be ready to roll. So anyway, and traffic was crazy. So we didn't get to the institution that I was doing the financing with until probably 4:05. And I was calling the loan officer. I was like, yo, I'm on my way. You know, and I ain't never met this lady before. You know, I was like, yo, I got my kids. I got to go back to work next week. I know y'all close tomorrow and the next day. We got to get this done today. So she was like, you know, I'll work with you or whatever. But I don't do the financing in the office. You know, it's like a back office they use. And, you know, I can't do nothing if they ain't there and it's after 4:00. So anyway, long story short, I get to the front door and she lets me in. We talk and she sees my, you know, my little kids there. And it's like, yo, can you help us? And she's like, I got the buyer's order, but it's wrong. And I'm just like, gosh, almighty. And she was like, I really can't do anything with this buyer's order. Plus, my peoples is gone in the back office. So anyway, me and the wife are sitting there, and this is back, I'm bringing this back to topic, Mr. Holtz. But me and the wife are sitting there, and, you know, we like, well, what are you going to do? And she's like, well, what are you going to do? And I was like, what are you going to do? You know, I said, I want the vehicle. She was like, no, you need to wait. You need to wait until next week when your institution opens and you can get it squared away. And I was like, no, I want to take it today. So we literally sitting there, and here was the kicker, fellas. The guy was like, look, you know, if you don't take it today, you know, it's released, and if somebody see it over the weekend, because I couldn't, you know, I had no money to put on, I ain't putting nothing down on it. And the guy was like, look, if you don't take it today, somebody see it over the weekend, and they were crazy busy. I mean, they were crazy busy. Before Christmas, don't nobody buy a car. You know, I don't know if you know Tony, but it seemed like after Christmas, he was like, they make up, like, all of their sales because everybody is, they ain't shopping at the mall, they ain't getting Christmas gifts, they're off of work, so they come car shopping. Yep. You know, so literally, I'm like, do I want to take a chance, you know, with the car just sitting here? And they wasn't going to park it in the corner like they did for me since I ordered it. But, you know, literally, am I going to take a chance? So, you know, the options we had was to finance it through them, and they had a 3-day right of rescission that, you know, literally I could, you know, within 3 days I can get my finances squared away, and I don't think they counted Saturday. So I could, you know, I got it. I could have had it squared away, you know, by the time my institution opened the next week. But, you know, me and the wife were kind of going a little back and forth, like, what you going to do? You know, I wanted to take the vehicle. She was like, nope, you know, I don't want to do the double financing. You know, we've already got the hit to the credit. I was already pre-approved for the other loan. And, but literally, yeah, I was just like, I just want to take the vehicle and get on up out of here, you know, because it's a long way from the house. And we took the kids and everything up there. But that was a situation where we had talked about it, but then it got into a spot where it wasn't no what if, you know, as far as what are we going to do if. Because I told her on the way up there, I was like, this process is going to take about 30 minutes. I'm pre-approved for the loan. I know I'm getting the vehicle. But, you know, going back to, you know, to what we were talking about probably 20 minutes ago before I started telling this story, it was about, you know, we did have that conversation, but even still, even having the conversation, we still got into a little, it's like, all right, what are we going to do here? We got to make a decision. So that's my story. Long-winded. Too much for y'all.
No,
I apologize.
All good. But, you know, you got to do what you got to do. I mean, you want a person who will be dedicated and say, no, I don't think we should do it, or we should wait.
Yeah.
Or help you make those decisions. Because there's some people that, let me ask this question. Did you get married, or have you ever, you know, a person that got married because their wife gave them an ultimatum?
Mm. I know what happens. I can't say that I know anybody personally.
No, I don't know anybody. But, you know, you've been dating 7-8 years.
Mm.
And they're like, hey, are we going to take this next step or what?
And even engaged. You even got the engagement ring at some point during those 7-8 years.
And then when you get married, you know, everything was good until you got this ultimatum. Then when you say okay and you get married, that 8 years just looked like it was 5 months.
Mm-hmm.
Those marriages don't even last 5 months. Why do you think that happened?
Because, I think if a woman has to give you an ultimatum, that's a problem. Now, we all married, and it didn't take us that long. Well, maybe not. I'm speaking for myself and a few others, but it didn't take that long for you to figure out that she was the one. And I know my wife was not the type where she was going to be dating me for 8 years. You know, she was like, all right, what are we going to do here? Either we're going to move forward, you know, with the wedding. It wasn't an ultimatum. It was just like, what are we doing here? So I know that, you know, I wouldn't have been dating my wife for 8 years because she would have left me. Bottom line, I kid you not, and she would have kept it moving because she, you know, she believes that, you know, you don't need to date that long. You know, we know when she's the one. We know that,
mm-hmm.
You know, but with that, it's like, what is the, why should you get an ultimatum? That's my question. You know,
yeah, I mean, why should an ultimatum be even in the question? I mean, if you don't know, then you're going into a marriage scam because you're getting married on false pretenses, right?
Right.
So why would we put ourselves in that position? Do y'all know anybody on the call that has happened to, that they have gotten married in false pretenses because an ultimatum was given? Ooh.
Nope.
Yeah, it's hard, but I mean, you see it on, at least you see it in places, you know, or you heard of it in different situations.
But it happens all the time, and I just don't understand. Well, I do understand. And it's something about that woman that she's not marriage material or the guy's commitment phobic. You know, he has a phobia with commitment. I mean, it's something about why he doesn't want to, you know, take that next step, because, you know, it's something where it's like, you know, it's like, all right, you need to marry the girl. You know, it's like, what's the holdup? And it happens all the time where, you know, women are given ultimatums and, you know, they finally do get married and the guy's, you know, being drugged to the altar. And the next thing you know, what happened? They break up. They divorce. And it was something about why he didn't want to get married anyway.
Hmm.
May have been him, may have been her, but I mean, you never know. I don't know.
Yeah, person online said his cousin was one of the ones that got married due to an ultimatum. And are they still married? I'm waiting for him to see if he types back. But while he's doing that, does your wife do things that you just don't like? And saw while you were dating, but it just got into the marriage, and you just was like, I don't like this. Why do we have to continue to go through these same things? Because I'm assuming everybody has some red flags, like this is a red flag. And you didn't do this when we were dating, but why are you doing it now? And I just don't like it. Do you speak up or do you allow this to happen?
Yeah, you have to speak up on that one.
Okay.
I mean, because the question, like you say, if it wasn't happening before, why is it starting now? Or where, better yet, where you get it from?
There it is. Well, I mean, where did you get it from? I mean, because we talked earlier. I think you're just getting on the call, but we talked earlier about bringing, you know, different luggage from different relationships that didn't show up when y'all were doing your courting and you're doing your girlfriend, boyfriend into engagement. But right when you got married, all of a sudden, that's when it shows up.
As Tony says, you back the moving truck up. You hear that? Like, what in the world? I thought we got all your stuff in. It's like, no, that's the stuff I had in storage. All the baggage, here it comes.
Yeah. So can anybody expand on that? I mean, why are these just rules for divorce, or is this something that we can work through?
I think it depends on what it is.
It depends on what it is.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it may be that she didn't do it before, but it want to experiment now. Because she's seen that. Because now, nothing is secret anymore in reality. So they see everything going on. You know what I'm saying? You can't turn the TV on and have your kids sitting on the side of you no more. So she may have seen something on TV or on some movie she was watching and wanted to try. But she had to explain that one. You know, where this come from? Well, I saw it. I was watching such and such. Oh, okay. Well, we don't need to be trying this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, hey, I agree, whatever.
Well, that's good. I want one of our chatters, online, they said that their cousin did it, and then they married a girl from Africa, and she wanted to stay in the U.S. She even lied and said that the baby was supposed to be his. So she got pregnant. She said the baby was supposed to be his, and they, you know, she gave him an ultimatum to get married so that they can come to America. Now, I know some of us on the phone probably in the armed services, and they've probably seen this a lot.
Oh, yeah.
How does that affect? Because once that person gets in, they don't really want to be married to that guy, now, do they?
I've actually seen it a lot where these guys meet people from overseas and get into relationships, bring them back to the States, and then when they get to the States, it's like, okay, I'm here now. You can't make me go home. So, see you. I mean, that's honest. I've seen that one. You know, these guys find these females from overseas and figure they got one thing, but when they get home, it's something totally different. You know, they think they got the nice, innocent one. And then find out half the people he know her.
Wow.
Hey. I'm just saying, I haven't seen it. You know, I had friends when we were sitting up at the house and friends come, yo, man, how y'all know her? What you mean? Man, I knew her from something. Yo, look.
And they married?
Yep.
Oh, man, that's good. Man, how do you have that conversation? Yeah.
But that,
you know, I met her this many years ago over here, and she was doing, yo, okay, hey.
And that's your wife? Yeah. Oh, man.
Hey, no, I'm talking, you know, somebody may ask somebody else in the house. Oh, he may mess up and ask the wrong person.
Oh,
but I've seen it.
Because it goes back to what all men think about is you never may go,
yep,
a garden hoe into a housewife. That even though you try to change that person because you thought that now that she's married, she doesn't have to do that anymore. She can just do all that to you. Their mental and their mentality is not going to allow them to do it. If a man comes along and says the right thing, it's on the pocket.
You know, it'd be one of those where it may be almost right there to where you then turn the garden hose into a broom. And some cat comes through, man, he just trying to control you. You are just going to be yourself. You know, you shouldn't have no man trying to tell you what to. You know what? You're right. I'm going out tonight.
Uh-oh.
And what are they going to say? You can't send them back home.
So that brings up a good point. I mean, let's talk about that. I mean, do you bring your boys into your relationship by they saying, hey, man, you know, I ain't in your business, but I don't think you should marry that girl.
I cannot say yes to that because the simple fact that when me and my wife got married, I had cats that knew me. And the first words out of their mouth was, we wasn't going to last more than a week. It's like, you getting what? Married? Man, this ain't going to last a week.
Wow.
So they were the opposite. They were trying to affect your marriage.
Right. They were
trying
to keep you from getting married.
And what you got to tell them? 2 weeks later, y'all still married, right?
Yep. And wait, here's the sad thing about it. Every one of them that said it, I watched their marriages crumble.
Mm.
Mm.
So that's the one thing that, you know, your boys are your boys.
Right.
But when your boys come to you in that matter, then you need to examine your boys.
Mm-hmm.
Because it might not be that they're hating on you. It may be that they're reaching out.
Right.
Because they got issues and don't want nobody to know.
So what happened to their situations? Was it the same?
Let's see. One of my partners is a real good friend of mine. His wife left him for another guy.
Mm.
And it was like just out the blue. And the way we found out was the next door neighbor told us.
Wow.
Because, you know, when you leave to go to work, this is what's happening to your boy wife. What?
Wow. Wow.
He go out the front, though, and his other cat go through the back, though. What?
Wow. That's crazy. That's crazy.
Yeah, well, try being the guy that's got to tell your buddy that.
Oh, my goodness.
Mm.
So it was, you know, it was one of those things where it was like, I got something to tell you, partner.
You understand?
But I can't put it in words.
You have to draw like stick figures or something.
Nope.
I mean, but that, oh, man, you're bringing up points after points after point, because if you see your friend going through a marriage fraud or a marriage scam, because his wife...
If it's your friend, you got to raise the flag.
Mm.
I'm sorry. If it's your friend, you got to raise the flag.
But don't you think his male ego going to backfire
if,
and go up his defense?
If you are his friend, anybody care about ego? Because when it all crashes and burns, and he find out that you knew, then what?
Mm.
Now you look like you was laughing and talking behind his back because you knew and you didn't tell him, and you was supposed to be his boy.
Ooh, I mean that's a hard one to handle, man. Because you don't. I guess if you don't see it. To me,
and that's it right there. You bag up. You just said a major thing. If you don't see it, then you can't raise that flag.
Mm.
But if you know, and you know that you know, and you don't raise that flag, okay, that's like me sitting in my living room every day watching something go on at your house and not telling you that I know it's happening. And then everything fall apart and you find out that I've been knowing for 3-4 months. Now, what kind of friend or brother was I?
Yeah, we're going to have some problems if you knew for 3 or 4 months.
There you go.
I mean, but just think about it, man. Just think about it. That has to put a burden on you because you're like, man, if I don't tell, I'm here. If I do tell, I may lose a friend. I might gain them back later.
But then I'm bringing up a marriage.
Yep. And you can't do what would come naturally and go, okay, well, I'm going to talk to her. Because now she knows you know she can flip it. I've seen that one happen. Where somebody knew something was going on and the girl went and told the guy, such trying to hit on me. When he was trying to basically go, look, I know what you're doing. And if you don't stop now, I'm letting them know what's going on.
Wow.
Yeah, that happened to me once. And I didn't tell. Yeah, one of my boys, man, we all worked at this one place out in Crystal City, and I saw his wife with another dude at lunchtime. And I didn't do really any investigating. It just didn't look right. I might have seen him twice, maybe even three times.
Did they see you?
She saw me. Yeah. She saw me, you know. But, again, we all worked in the same vicinity. So.
Right.
So, you know, I'm there, co-workers, you know. I knew better, but I didn't know how to tell them. I didn't know how to bring it up. I didn't feel comfortable.
Right.
So, I just kept my business like a fool. This was a long time ago.
That's where you go the way I had to go.
Yeah, I had to mind my
business. Come on, man, let's go to lunch.
yeah, and I should have. And then they end up getting a divorce.
Mm-hmm.
And the worst part about it was she took his son to another state.
Wow.
He had to deal with all that, man. You know, and that ain't have anything to do with me, but,
right.
You know, I will definitely do differently this time. For sure. That was a lesson I had to learn. You know, don't let it go on, you know, get in there and say, look, I may not even know what I'm talking about, but let me just tell you what I saw.
I mean, I'm not even that. They got technology now.
You just saw it on Facebook.
Yes.
You know, I'm not even that. You know, like I say, what I ended up doing was going, you know, after I saw it with my eyes, you know, it was one of those things where when we got to work, okay, let's go. Where are we going? Let's take a ride.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I was there to make sure he didn't go to jail.
Okay.
But,
yeah,
you know,
I think as a friend, you did the right thing because it's going to be a situation wherever y'all
are. Right.
Yeah.
Again?
I said it was going to be a situation anyway.
Oh, yeah. Right. You know, and, you know, with everything that happened, they split.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, he still kept that relationship with his son because he was in the Navy, so he couldn't, it was no way he was getting his son being in the Navy.
Mm-hmm.
So that wasn't happening. But he was able to keep his relationship, you know, he broke it off and was like, okay, fine, that's what you want. Then that's what you want. But whenever I want to see my boy, I'm going to see my boy, period, point blank. And, you know, I ain't got to deal with you. You ain't got to deal with me. And they went their separate ways. And now his son is with him. His son grew up and realized what his mom did, left there, and went to be with his dad.
Mm.
So, you know, it comes back in a full circle.
That's great. That's a tough one to swallow, but it's part of that marriage fraud. You know, stepping out on your spouse. Because I'm assuming everybody is like me who takes their vows, you know, seriously.
Right.
And that's a marriage fraud if you, regardless of what you're going through, if you step out.
Mm-hmm.
You're part of a marriage scam because you allowed somebody
to break that force field and step into your marriage. Do y'all agree? Is that part of a marriage scam?
Yep.
That the person that you sleep with every night is not only sleeping with you, but when you go to work and you're doing other things.
Mm.
What?
Coming in the back door.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, but I think that's I think it's unfortunate. But, you know, you're talking about marriage fraud, scams. I mean, you have people carrying on extramarital affairs, and the spouse does not, I mean, has no clue. I mean, you talk about living a lie. You know, and it's situations where, you know, folks got a whole family that the other family don't even know about.
Uh-oh. You going there?
Now, that's a, ooh.
And you going there?
Hey, y'all know I'm telling the truth. I mean, let's not get it twisted. I mean, y'all know this stuff happens, whereas you got the family here and then, you know, the wife and the kids, and then got a whole nother, like, it's like a double life.
Got that right.
And that's hard to keep up with. I could imagine. But even besides that, just, you know, the whole idea of maybe they had an affair and cut it off and then just went back to the wife. You know, and it's like everything is cool. Well, the wife never knew.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
You've been living a double life for years.
Yeah.
Every Wednesday and Sunday, I'm supposed to be going, you know, play golf, and I'm
right.
Living a double life.
Mm.
Wow.
Happens every day.
Yes, it does.
Well, it's a little bit after 10 o'clock. And I have to ask this question, and then we go deep back into some deep stuff. But now that you're married, did you know that your wife was going to be wearing the big drawers in the family? Did you know she was just going to take over and wear the drawers in the family?
You mean wear the pants?
Yeah, pants, drawers, the whole.
I think the brothers were talking about wearing the big drawers to bed.
Mm. Yeah, that's what I thought you were talking about.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to that next. But I want to get to I want to get to just the they being the male figure and you not.
Well, I don't have that problem.
I don't have that problem.
Nobody has that problem. Now, I know y'all know some dudes where you like,
oh, yeah,
come on.
Of course.
You need to step up, man. In your household, you're going to get ran out because you right now, you acting like the girl in the man.
Hey, I'm going to tell you what. I was talking to a brother on Sunday, and he had the nerve to tell me that. Why are you laughing, man?
Put him on mute.
I wanted to know if he wanted to borrow my man card. He said he didn't want to go, but his woman slapped him. Well, I mean, you know, I'm just saying.
Oh, man.
I don't know about all that.
Good words. Good words.
We would have some serious issues.
Next, he said he's going to the bridal shower.
Wow.
And he said that.
Oh, man. That's funny.
No, but straight up, seriously, man, we have seen some serious role reversals.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and I have a real problem. And I'll tell you about a situation that happened in my family, and it got so bad. This is my sister and my brother-in-law. And, I mean, She was wearing the pants, the underwear, and the jock strap. I'm not kidding. Okay? And, you know, they come to my house and we're hanging out and me and my brother-in-law playing ball in the front yard, and she don't want that. She wants his attention. He's like, come on, Michelle, don't do that, you know, come on. Well, you know, she can't get the attention. We're out there playing ball. She gets mad. Says, well, it's time to go.
Whoa. Whoa.
Now, they lived about an hour from me up in Columbia, and she says, it's time to go. All right, now, you got to understand. What happens with a man that's a punk that gets around another man? What's he want to do?
He wants to man up.
He
wants to man up.
Yep.
Okay.
He know he don't do that at home.
Hell, you know it. Okay. Well, the first thing before that happened, we're in the house, we're eating, you know, and she's just like totally disrespecting him. And I'm like, oh, man, here we go again. This is not a first time. This is an every time situation. And she's just totally just disrespecting him. You know, so I said, Michelle, could we please, you know, could you not treat him, you know, like a child? We're sitting at the table, and she's just dogging him out. I said, could you please just not treat him like a child? And she put her hand on her hip and said, if he acts like a child, I'm going to treat him like a child. Fast forward to us out front playing ball. All right? And I'm like, oh, Lord. You know, and she said, it's time to go. And he's going to man up. Oh, why did you do that? I ain't ready to go. I didn't ask if you were ready to go. I said, it's time to go.
But it happens. It happens all
hurt my heart, man.
Did he grab his ball and go?
Yeah, he had to go. You know, I was like, dude, he was like, you know, all this, I was like, dude, man, look, it ain't worth it. I'm telling you, you're going to have to go home. She's going to beat the hell out of you. Okay, you're going to try to man up with me here, and you're going to pay for it. I said, you know, you got to do what you got to do, man. You know, he's like, I'll catch you next time.
Might not be no next time. He have to get permission.
Yeah.
Well, there was no doubt, you know. And you know what happened? You know, I'm talking about my sister. I love her to death. But, you know, I mean, you know, no woman wants a man like that. Of course she's going to throw him to the curb after a while. She don't want no punk.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, she
But that's part of being that marriage fraud is not, you know, stepping up to your responsibilities, letting somebody else take care of that.
And that's the bottom line. That's what it didn't start that way, but because he kept giving her the pants, she decided she was gonna wear them.
Yeah,
she wore them well.
and that's the thing is, and being a marriage fraud, do you give up a lot to try to take, you know, try to be something that you're not?
Now the funny
thing, have a marriage that you're not.
And we grew up in the same household, and, you know, my dad was anything but a punk. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it wasn't like she didn't have a man or a strong man around. You know, so I don't know where she got it from, but, I mean, that like I said, it wasn't like, you know, she never saw what a man was supposed to be. You know, because sometimes you get those kind of situations where, you know, there's an absent man or a weak man and a woman has to take charge and the daughter grows up seeing that. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't that way. I don't know.
Maybe it was too strong for her.
Yeah, no.
Maybe the way your dad was too strong for her.
Maybe. She finally divorced him, and she married a real man about 3 years ago.
Mm.
He don't take her stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, she ready to go back, ain't she?
What'd you say?
Is she ready to go back?
Oh, no, not at all. Not at all.
That's a good thing.
I mean, I don't mean he's, you know, violent with her or anything like that.
No,
he just, you know, Michelle, we're not going to do that. You know, and I, you know, I appreciate the heck out of him because, you know, she needed a man to put her in her place. You know, and there's no man on this planet that wants to be in a situation that, you know what I'm saying?
I
mean, you know, we've counseled with some dudes, and I tell them, I'm like, dude, you got to sit down to take a leak? I said, I do offer zipper realignment therapy. It does not go in the back, and it does not go on the side. It goes squarely in the front, and we're going to need to realign your zipper.
What did Jay-Z say? He said, used to stand up, now you sit down to aim.
And I don't get it because, you know, I don't understand that one because I don't, it's like, why would you do that?
I don't know why.
Yeah, that's a fraud. Marriage fraud.
But I don't think that happens when they get married. I think that happens before they get married.
Yep. It just manifests in the marriage. It's like, now I've really got you. I got the paperwork on you now, brother.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Well, let's get back to it then. Let's get back to it. Let's get back to these big draws.
Now, when you say big draws, I'm thinking like grandma underwear.
That's what we talking about right
now. Oh, okay. In other words, she ain't got the teddy on anymore. She got the...
You know, when you were
the bloomers
dating, when you were courting, you know, you had to fight to get them clothes off, and when you got them off, she wore it, you know, every time she called you over, it's a brand new Victoria's Secret.
Oh!
Down, heels, pumps on, night.
Then the real marriage, deal hits.
Marriage, you know, same thing. But now we adding in some other different things, and you are just excited to come home every time. Now all of a sudden, kids come, and we're wearing the grandma drawers to bed. And hair wrapped up.
And, what happens,
And the flannel or the flannel full body length pajamas.
Like the J.J. Evans joints.
What happens?
What happens, I mean, if you are ever articulated, like, yo, could you not put on the flannels? I mean, what happens, how does she respond when you tell her, you know, don't wrap the hair till we done, or whatever the case may be. How does she respond to that?
Well, you know some women are going to be like, I just paid for this hair.
Right. Don't mess it up.
Right.
And reality is you just paid for the hair. Probably.
But is it a big issue? Is it a problem? Well, I guess everybody likes that.
Crickets.
It can be a problem, I think. It can be a problem, but then, you know, at some point you got to, I mean, they want to be comfortable too. And if that's, you know.
Okay, but it's like, all right, well, we married. You see me every day and night. I don't have to dress up for you anymore.
I mean, it's not like it anymore, but you, I mean, you know, is your wife going to wear lingerie to bed every night?
No.
I mean, you know, sometimes it's going to be, you know, what they, you know, what they're comfortable in. Unless you put a standard rule. I mean, you know, there could be a rule now. No
lingerie
nothing.
On Tuesday nights?
Well, I mean, that's a pretty good rule. That's a pretty good rule.
But, I mean, it shouldn't even be a rule, right?
Yeah, I mean, there's got to be some guidelines. Or every night you'll be looking at bloomers.
But you said something key, though, Tony. And you said they just got to be comfortable. Now, Isn't it a lot of times in a marriage where you have to be uncomfortable?
A lot of times?
Yeah.
I mean, there's going to be times that you got to be uncomfortable, but you don't want somebody to be somebody else just to be in a marriage with you.
Right.
Yeah, but at the same time, you got to throw me a bone every now and then, right?
Yeah, exactly.
If you're going for comfort, you know, 6 out of the 7 days, that 7 day, man, I ought to be getting it in.
Yeah, and then you can throw them a bone. I mean, it's what it is. Return the favor.
I throw you a bone.
That's right.
Teamwork makes the dream work.
Yeah, but the sweatpants and the covering up your whole body.
That's horrible.
You can't. Yeah, I mean that should be banned.
That'll get.
The first time you see it, you got, whoa, what are you doing? No, that doesn't happen here.
So you going to the curb or something? You know, you taking out the trash with that on? Or
Yeah. Well, I mean, anything you wear outside of the bedroom shouldn't be permitted in the bed. Period.
True.
If the neighbors are all right seeing you in those clothes, you shouldn't wear that to bed.
Like that rule. That rule.
Hey,
now wait a minute. Now you got to watch that one because some of the neighbors will be happy seeing it in the other.
Mm-hmm.
Hey.
but come on, Tom.
Yeah.
There was a song about it. T-shirt and your panties on. You know. Got on.
If you got on
a wife beater and your panties. That's kind of sexy, isn't it?
But that's a minimum. That's got to be a minimum.
I see every night, I'm good.
That's a minimum.
So fashion goes away after marriage is basically what the conversation is. We don't really care what you go to bed in.
Yes, we do.
Yes, we do.
I will say I don't care about the head wrapped up, though. I don't care about that. Some of y'all are like, they got to be laid down, and no. Uh-uh.
The price it costs nowadays, wrap it.
Wrap it up.
You're like, yeah, make sure that scarf is on, you know, real good.
How much it cost? Oh, no.
You know, a washing and a perm is run you about $85.
A wash and a perm? Boy, you got it good.
Now, I ain't say that at all. I just said that part of it.
Oh, I'm saying that's all.
You now, whatever else you get, you got to add that in to it.
Yeah.
I ain't got that
when
wrong.
They come rolling in talking about $200.
But that brings up another problem. No more sweaty nights.
Huh?
No freakiness in the bed.
Say who? Who what?
You can't sweat. You can't go all out because of
who
the
made
hair.
That rule? No,
no, he right though. I see where you're going with because after some women get their hair done,
ain't no sweating.
They sleeping with that head off the bed anyway.
That's why you wrap it
or propped up.
Yeah.
You ever heard of the wedge pillow?
The what?
The wedge pillow.
Yeah, wedge pillow. See, if you need a wedge pillow, that's not an appropriate hairstyle for our marriage. You need to get another. Because that somehow, some kind of way, I'm gonna make you upset because of something I'm doing to your hair, or you're gonna get upset because something happened and you sweat it out away. Yeah, that's just another excuse to not get busy. Your hair.
Mm. Man, because, hey, I mean, you got to really think about this stuff, man.
Mm-hmm.
Because y'all know, you know, sometimes you want to put the hard hat on and get sweaty.
Yeah.
It's not all the time you want to just be in a lovemaking state of mind.
And that could be another fraud thing, too, to be honest with you. You know what I mean? Because when you're dating someone, they may not tell you, okay, there's certain times where this hair is off limits. Mm. You're just not invited over on those nights. You know, but once you get into the marriage and then you see how it really goes down and you know that the nights that you have, you think you got 7 nights a week, you really don't. Because of that hairstyle.
But that's when 3 nights a week is a good thing.
Yeah.
It's more quality and not quantity. Right.
Yeah, they get that head done looking all good and you can't touch them. Come on, man. I'm not doing that, dude.
I mean, let's just be honest.
Yeah.
Got a situation going on. But can you be yourself in the bedroom? Is that another marriage fraud that once you get married, you can't be yourself in your own bedroom?
That's where you're supposed to be able to be yourself.
Yeah, but you got kids in the house. You got to be like, shh, the kids. You got to wait till the kids. You know, you got to put a time schedule on.
And that don't mean you can't be yourself. You got kids. Wait till they sleep.
So you don't care about the time schedule.
Huh?
You're not mad that after marriage that you might have to schedule time for sex.
Hey.
It's horrible. The scheduling's horrible.
It's not so much
about that schedule. We talked about that a while back.
Yeah, here we go.
It's not so much as scheduling.
If I got no schedule, that's just ridiculous. It's not so much as scheduling.
I mean, it's just that when you decide that you wanna go a little while, you got to make sure that the house is clear.
Sound like a plan to me.
But is it worse if you got teenagers in the house than little
yes.
kids? Yes. Somebody said
yes.
yes.
Why is it worse? Because they know.
They understand the sound.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Man. I'm going to tell you what. And I got a teenager in the house right now. And she knows that her mama and I have a great sex life. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And we don't, you know, obviously, you know, do things in front of her, but she knows, you know, hey, this is one of the wonderful things about being married.
Yeah? Yeah, but you know it's traumatized.
It's traumatized.
Everybody, come on now, everybody heard the parents like, oh, man, I got to go. I can't.
No, I'm not talking about, you know, noises and all that kind of thing. I'm talking about, you know, just sitting down, because we talk about sex all the time.
I think we
right,
talking about the noise.
What they talking about is the noise.
Right.
Oh, okay.
And
oh,
that
okay.
goes back to the host's question. You cannot be yourself if you got teenagers in the house.
Of course. I mean, you can't, you know, you can't swim from the ratchets and stuff.
Yeah,
not while, you know.
No,
that's
just
different. That's when you put the money in the pocket and say, go to the mall and have fun.
That's right. Get rid of them.
Go to the movies.
But in the heyday, that's why moms would be like, all right, we done the housework. Now go outside, don't come back in.
Yep.
If you want some water, cut on the faucet. That's the only time. The only time you need to come in the house to go to the bathroom. If you ain't got to do nothing, just stay outside.
You say
lock them out. Just lock them out.
Yeah, just lock them out.
Hang on the door if you want to get back in.
I mean, but
if you come in before 5, you in for the day. You know, but that's when they're little. But when they're teenagers, they pretty much have their own life and their own friends, and it's more of a rarity for them to be around a whole lot than it is when they're little.
Right.
You know, they're hanging out. They want to go to the mall. They want to go to the movies. They want to spend a night at this one's house. You know, next weekend they're coming to your house. You know, so it's a lot. They're around you a lot less when they're teenagers. Matter of fact, you're trying to figure out ways to get your teenager to be around you.
Yeah.
They ain't up under you like that. You know, they're like, oh, you know. And, you know, you're like, well, why don't we get around with your friends? No, because you embarrassed me. You know?
Sure.
But that might be what I mean.
They want to do that thing when they by the time they get to be teenagers, especially, you know, mid-teens. They, like, you know, 15, 16, 17, they don't want to be up under you. They're trying to sneak away from you.
Word. Mm-hmm. That is. Man, because, but what about, and staying on sex, but let's just keep it honest. What about just the positions change? The positions aren't the same. You're not trying every position that's in the book. You're not trying that 202 ways to.
You might hurt
or whatever
yourself.
Whatever the book is.
You might hurt yourself.
Is it getting to the point where you have to ask for what you want? Hey, let's try this tonight, huh? Why do we have to use the bed all the time?
I think you just pull a tone and say just because I said so.
But does routine sex, is that a fraud? Because you're not used to it, because when y'all were first together, it was no such thing as routine sex.
Well, I mean, maybe then it was too new to even have a routine, so it was fresh.
Mm-hmm.
However you were getting it with it, you know, in the beginning was great because you was getting it.
And you were working for it.
You was working for it. You was getting it. It was good to you because it was still new. You know how we like that new booty.
Mm-hmm.
So it was still new.
See, now you're working for it just a different way.
Exactly. So now it's not new. Now you know all about the ins and outs, everything you need to know. Now you kind of recreate that thing.
That's right. It ain't no free booty out there.
Yeah, exactly.
We're all buying it.
Yep. Yeah, we are.
He's on the corner or got the ring on it. You buying it.
Yeah, yeah. But I do agree with you, Patrice, and they do need to, and I'm going to say need to, be more creative with the positions. And they need to do their homework in reference to how to be more creative, opposed to just saying, well, let me just go ahead and please him and get it over with. No, it's a little bit more than that.
Right. So what you're basically saying is, it comes down, you got to show me some passion.
You have to show me some passion.
Man, I need some passion, because it's crazy, man. When you start now, you courting, you doing all that stuff, that passion is ridiculous.
It's ridiculous.
Passion to have you sitting at your desk, and you then type the letter Z 25 times in one row on your keyboard because you've been thinking about that passion.
Mm-hmm.
And that in a while, and you got to constantly just getting through the motion, that can get annoying. I mean, routines after a while, I think for any guy, especially when it comes to passion and intimacy, and maybe a few women out there, that the routine part, that just gets, that's not even, that's not even attractive. Like you.
So how do you spice it up?
I think the biggest part about spicing it up, honestly, is you got to go back to some of those most basic things that you did at the very beginning.
Yep.
And I think a lot of it also stems, from the conversations. When you think about it, when you first courting somebody, you are talking the hell out of them because you are trying to understand them. You are trying to figure things out. You're asking questions. And, yes, now you're married to this person, so you kind of have an idea about everything, but you really might not necessarily be back into the details that you were in at the beginning. Because we were at the beginning, you were asking this woman everything. Wait a minute, so who is she again? Now, is she the one that was with you at church, or was she the one that was with you at church? You were asking all these questions, and you were genuinely, whether your intentions are positive or negative, you were genuinely, engaged in the conversation. And we all know, last week we were talking about some of this stuff. We all know that, your wife may love you, but with women, it's about liking you. They got to like you. If they don't like you, oh, my goodness. Then depositions and all that stuff and spicing it up, that's for the birds. That's not going to happen. You can get that same routine because in her mind she'll be like, you know what, I'm satisfied. I'm doing what I need to do. Let's keep it moving. And it'll be just as bland. Because look at it this way. Have you ever had bland food, but the person says to you, well, at least you're eating, though? you ain't hungry. The food, it might not have any taste, any flavor, any spice, but you ain't hungry.
Well, it could be worse.
Yeah, well, you're right. It could be worse. But But I think that's some of the things that sometimes what they're thinking about in their mind is like, all right, you know what, let's just go on, get up here, knock this out, keep him happy, we keep him moving, so I can go ahead and do these things with the kids, get over here, do this, blah, 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 blah. And again, I think that the multitasking thing too, I don't think that, you know, in some aspects, that has definitely hurt us. You know, because I think what happens is that ultimately at the end of the day, you know, when we as men want to focus in on the women in our lives,
oh, girl,
multitasking. I'm not. I'm focusing on you, especially in this area. I'm not thinking about anything else. But for some odd reason, in some aspects, we've got to figure out a way to get them to avoid the multitasking piece, which has them just going through the motions, being in they're there, but they're not there.
Yeah.
Because that keeps you from getting the spice and the passion and the positions and all that other stuff. Because they think, all right, if I got to put this leg up there and do this and all of that, then I got to go downstairs. I'm gonna have to shower after that. I'm gonna have to do this. I'm gonna have to do this. But I mean, it's a million different things that they're thinking about,
yep.
And on top of all the other things that they have going on. So it's like you got to really get back to some of that beginning stuff. And I'm not gonna say I got all the answers because believe me, I'm hitting my head sometimes on the wall like this is horrible, you know. And I'm saying I would rather just go ahead and sit down here, go cut the grass one more time, to go through this bland food.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, yeah, we eating, but I mean, after a while, you just get tired of that. I mean, because at the beginning, when you're just like, you know what, especially in certain times when things get kind of dicey, you could be like, yeah, all right, I just, you know, whatever. I'm gonna do it. I don't care if you into it or not. I'm getting it in.
that's
not cool.
But,
like I mean, I might as well be out there grabbing somebody. Like I said, you paying for it somewhere. I might as well go pay for some.
Uh oh. But that you know that happens. I mean, when in the marriage, when the oral stops, the men go to the corner. Oral.
How detrimental is that? On a scale from 1 to 10, how detrimental is that to a marriage when the oral stops? Just a question.
Well, for some marriages, it means a whole lot.
1 to 10, brother, 1 to 10.
I don't know the number, man. Don't put me on that one.
But it's high.
It's high.
I heard somebody say 11 in the distance.
Speak up, please. Speak up.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's high. I think it's closer to a 10 than it is anything else. And the reason why I say that is because, especially if you were getting it prior to or you were getting it early on, and then now it doesn't happen, I think it's very detrimental because that is a straight up and down fraud.
Yeah, but you know, there's a difference between somebody doing it and somebody loving it.
We don't matter. Let me tell you something.
Well,
you ain't got to
you know. I mean, if any of y'all been with somebody that was loving it, you got to kind of push them off sometimes.
Yeah.
They'd be like, nah, I want it. I don't care you driving. I want the whole thing. Then you got the, okay, there it is. There's a difference. Now, we didn't marry the one that was loving it, did we?
No.
No.
But
we married the one that was doing it.
Now that we married to be the lover, the one that loved it.
Huh?
But we want the one that we married to love it, right?
Yeah, but we didn't marry the one that was loving it. Now, if y'all ain't been with somebody that was loving it, I'm going to tell you, it's a different ball game. But she's loving all kind of things.
So you saying that if she's not loving it, that means she gets a pass?
I'm just telling you that you didn't marry the one that was loving it. Most likely.
Most likely,
she was
right.
A stone cold freak.
You're right. But even though you didn't, if she ain't loving it, she still shouldn't get a pass.
I'm not saying she should get a pass. I'm just saying there's a difference between one that's loving it. And if y'all ain't met one that's loving it, you can't keep them off of it.
Okay, so you so okay, okay, so
I mean they'd
okay.
rather do that than you to bang it.
Okay, so there you go. So now you're proving my point. So it's definitely a 10. It's definitely a 10 in the detrimental scale, because if you had been with somebody that's loving it, you may still have that phone number in your back pocket.
You see? But here's the deal, okay? And we're going to take it back to the scripture. And this is why we were supposed to stay pure, because we wouldn't know about that. I mean, I'm talking theoretically.
Well, theoretically, I'm glad that I know than don't know.
Wow.
I mean, theoretically, I heard that my menage a trois happened.
Yeah.
Okay. All kind of stuff goes down theoretically.
Yeah.
But theoretically, people don't marry that.
So let me ask you a question. So let's just say you've had an encounter at some point in your life with that one that loves it theoretically.
Right.
So would that say that that's what you're accustomed to?
You can get quite accustomed to that.
Yeah.
I mean, one could get quite accustomed to that.
Yeah. Now, and with being accustomed to that, should there be for any reason that you have to be deprived of it?
Well, there's other baggage that comes with it.
Oh, there was?
I'm hurt. I heard.
Yeah.
I tell you, boy. I mean, you get one that tell you she gonna suck the meat off of it. I mean, that's what I heard.
Yeah.
We all heard that on the move.
Those don't tell you that. See, that's two things about people. You got talkers, and then you got doers.
Mm.
And those, they too busy to talk.
Oh, man.
They too busy to talk. Ain't time to talk.
Man,
ain't got time.
This could get deep.
But I'm saying, though, if that's what you have grown accustomed to, why should you be without that?
Because, you know, there are other things that are more important.
Huh? What?
Well, first of all, did you marry that?
I don't think one has anything to do with the other.
Yeah, it does.
It's
hard to the point, if you married that, she would still be on it. I know I didn't marry it.
I don't believe that either.
You don't believe I didn't marry it?
No. I don't believe that you married that she would still be on it.
I'm just saying. You don't
people
think
change.
I don't know, man. I mean, have you been with a girl that loves it?
You asking me?
Yeah, I'm asking you.
Personally? If you don't know, brother, yes.
Okay. Well, you know, there is a different mindset.
Yeah.
You'll be sitting there and she'd be like, I want to suck your damn joint.
Yeah, but still.
You'll be like, girl, calm down. She'll be like, man, I've been thinking about that all day.
And I'd be like, me too.
Okay, now. I'm getting ready to put some BS in the game. All right.
Go.
We have some BS in the game. Don't do it.
And I don't want to step on nobody's toes. I might be stepping on my own toes, but I don't, you know. So you have this one woman that's been thinking about pleasing you in that way all day, and you didn't marry her.
Mm.
What is the woman that you married thinking about?
What are you thinking about?
Exactly. I married you. What are you thinking about?
Sleep. No. Wait a minute. There's a difference. See, there's a difference, Tony, because, you see, when you with that one, sucking your joint ain't to please you, it's to please her. That's the difference. Okay? I mean, man, I got to try to clean this joint up.
No, but listen, if that's the case, anyone would do.
No, man. I mean, when you meet that stone cold freak, I mean,
anyone would do.
Her
if it pleases
her,
her anyone
she
would
she wants. She is pleased to do that.
Yeah.
That's the difference. It's different if they're doing it to please them or if it really pleases, I mean, to please you or if it really pleases them.
Okay, but
there's two different kinds of women out there.
But listen, if it pleases them, then any Johnson will work.
That's the problem.
That's the problem. You just happen to be Tuesday's guy.
That's why you don't marry that.
But
don't marry that.
Listen.
But
so
when
then,
you got it, it's okay because it's Tuesday.
But when you there and they doing it to please you on a regular, on a regular, that's the point that I'm making.
See, but I
the wife is on a
that?
Regular. What are you thinking about?
How do you dial that one up?
I don't know.
That's the
$60
question.
I don't know.
Okay. See, when they're stone cold freaks, you really don't matter.
Nah, usually you don't. You're right about that. You usually don't matter. What ends up happening is they usually move on without you.
Okay. And
to be honest,
there ain't no feelings here.
Or they start getting a little too attached, and then they decide, yeah, I can't do this anymore.
So, I mean, when they're stone cold freaks, and I mean loving it, and I mean loving all kind of stuff, I mean, they ain't going to get so great. I mean stone cold, anything, everything, whatever you want to do, it goes.
No holes barred.
No,
exactly.
No holes barred. Any hole you want. Okay.
The bottom line is you don't matter.
And then you find out, dang, I wasn't able to catch up with you Tuesday afternoon. Okay? And that's why you don't marry that.
Let me throw another twist into this game.
Don't do it.
What if your wife wants to bring in a third party?
Oh, please. Is it a female?
Yeah. She's always had female tendencies. And
That's a bamboozle right there.
You about to get yourself hemmed up.
You are going to get hemmed up. You don't want to go there.
Stay away from that.
Got the T-shirt. You don't want to do that.
Got the T-shirt.
Yeah, that's all the glitter
and the
is not gold, my brother.
You don't want to do that.
Let me help you out. It becomes an issue because which one did you enjoy more?
Oh, man.
You were looking at that one. You was all into it.
The only way you can do that, now I'm talking theoretically, the only way you can do that is with two stone cold freaks. You can't bring your woman in on this.
Yeah,
I mean, that's what I heard. You can't bring mama in on this, man. That is a bad move. That is a setup.
But if she's the one that suggested it.
Trump is a setup.
The setup is to see if you would do it.
Man, you are asking for trouble. That's what I heard. All right, you don't want to go to that place, and you can't really. I mean, I heard you can't really enjoy it.
Is that what you heard?
Because you're kind of worried that you're doing it too good, enjoying the other one too much. I heard. Okay, you need two stone freaks that you're not married to. I heard.
I heard that too.
You can't bring another one in, whether she brings it in or not, because you can't enjoy it. I heard.
So let me ask this question then.
Don't do it.
What would hurt more? Your wife leaving you for another man or your wife leaving you for another woman?
Another man. You can't fight another woman. She got the issue.
Yep.
Damn,
she's
a carpet muncher. I couldn't fight. But, you know, somebody else laying pipe better than you, that hits your ego.
Yeah.
I heard.
Now, here we go. It's 11 o'clock.
It's 11 o'clock already? Oh,
yeah. 11 o'clock.
Boy, time flies
and,
when you're having fun, huh?
And I got this story off of Steve Harvey. I'm not even going to lie where I got the story off of. But the woman loves her husband, does everything for him, but she is not satisfied in the bed. She cannot keep her mind off Mr. Mendingo. Break her off. And she's ready to leave. Is sex more than important?
You see, that's a marriage that has other issues.
I would say that's an issue in her, in a sense, because when she jumps into the next one, it's going to be the same problem.
Yeah, that's a marriage that has other issues. And, you know, what we have found is sex is hardly ever the issue.
Yep.
All right. There's some situations, either she brought baggage in with her and hasn't dealt with it, or there's hurts in that marriage that she hasn't dealt with or forgiven or moved on, because sex is very rarely the problem. I mean, there's some people that got physical issues, but even that, it's not a sexual issue, okay, because, you know, marriage is about intimacy. It's not about sex. I mean, how much time out of a week are you actually having sex? 8-10 hours?
Yeah, but if
at most.
You know, women think just like men, too. You know, if you think about that past.
Y'all didn't hear that.
They think about that person that used to work the middle, and if your man can't work the middle.
Well, you know, there's ways, and that's communication, because you can explain how to please you.
Well, there you go.
Okay, that's communication. Well, you know, we can learn how to please somebody in as many different ways. And if you explain how you want to be pleased, if the person loves you and cares about you, they're going to do certain things. You know, but if she's thinking about Mandingo, you know, and because Mandingo is bringing it and you're not, you know, women generally what we have found are not about, it's much more about the intimacy than the physical, you know, how long you bringing it.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. You know, I told a girl one time, hey, baby, I'll hit you with 18 inches, even if I got to hit you with 2 inches 9 times.
Yeah, and I just think that is, after a while, the urge for that kind of beat it up style kind of fades out when a woman gets older. You know, the Mandingo, beat it up for 3-5 hours, knock it all, every part of the house.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Told you a long time ago, they like it slow.
They like it slow. Hey. I mean, they want to be made
love. Remember when you were 18 and you could bring it for 6 hours straight?
Yeah. After a while, they just want to be made love to.
Huh?
They don't want you to jump right in it. You know, don't just jump right in. You know,
no, I'm talking about pounding it for 6 hours.
Yeah,
where you're leaving soreness in the morning.
Yeah, exactly.
You got whelp.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all remember that at 18 and 19, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
Different ball game at 40, isn't it?
Different ball game.
You were like, all right. You know, with a Richard Pryor, 6 minutes of serious effort. 8 hours of sleep and a bowl of Wheaties.
He said, please stay hard. I mean, please stay heavy, if not hard.
That's the truth. Man, y'all remember 18, boy. You know, you got 6-7 in you, man. You just keep on rolling.
Yeah. Now
that
brothers
changes
are taking,
by the time you get to be 40.
Now brothers are taking supplements.
You know, black. Get that gene thing.
You know.
Y'all have lost your mind.
But you know what?
That's the counter at 7-Eleven now.
Yeah, but here's another thing. You take that supplement, you take it, you know, you read the directions, say take an hour before sex, you take your supplement, hour before sex, she's awake, 20 minutes before sex, she's asleep, and you got that supplement up in you.
Yep. You know, you're talking about this like it sounds like experience.
I'm just saying, it was a movie. No, I'm just saying.
I'm not saying
that.
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Well, so that's
not like you know a lot about this.
They'll go to the library in a heartbeat, though.
That's what you heard, right?
No,
don't
no.
Don't let them be up there waiting for you. They will fall asleep.
Yeah.
Oh, in a minute?
Yeah.
You'll be like, wake up. Yeah, you should have come to bed 3 minutes ago.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's like, okay. They'll be like, too late. I'm asleep. Wake me up at 3 in the morning. Yeah, right. Any of y'all get that?
Uh-huh.
That's a sham.
3 o'clock in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, this is getting good, guys. Want to move on. Because I want to find out do you try to protect yourself from marriage fraud? We talked about this for a quick minute early in the conversation, but do men try to protect themselves in marriage fraud by getting prenups?
I don't know. That's a good question. I think there's some valid reasons sometimes to get a prenup.
I don't know anybody with a prenup.
I don't know anybody with that kind of money.
Exactly.
You know, but I mean, if you happen to be, you know, on your second or third marriage and you got kids from your previous marriages, you want
to. And you got took
kids.
A couple of times?
Huh?
I said, and you got took a couple of times?
Yeah, and not just took a couple of times. If something were to happen to you and you didn't have those arrangements set up, she gets everything.
Right.
And what happens to your kids from your previous marriage?
Oh, they out to lunch. Especially if she ain't like them.
Now let's look at Tiger Woods.
That hurts my feeling every time I think about it.
Okay.
That's funny. I'm actually looking at Tiger Woods on the TV right now. That's funny.
I mean, you know, I mean, dude was worth what, $700 million?
Mm-hmm.
She walked away with 100.
I'm hoping he had a prenup. I can't imagine he was stupid enough not to.
Was he did, but it didn't hold up.
It didn't hold up because of the cheating. She walked away with $100 million.
Okay.
She walked away with more than that.
I don't know what she walked away with.
It was an obscene amount of money.
That you can write prenups whether you cheat or not.
Yeah.
Okay.
But you're not going to put infidelity, I don't think, in your prenup, because then I think it will end your chances of marrying that person.
Well, I don't think you would. Well, you know what? You might say, hey, ironclad, if we married this amount of time and you walk for whatever reason, you get this much money. And it doesn't matter the reason. She could say, well, if you cheat on me, the prenup is void. If you sign it, you're stupid if that's your game. But a prenup can be very ironclad. It can be written. It doesn't matter what the reason the divorce happens.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
Again, I don't know much about them, so.
Yeah, but I'm just saying that there are times. I mean, you know, I'm gonna assume, you know, Tiger Woods is a young man. Was he about 33, 34?
Yeah, somewhere like that.
I'm gonna assume he's probably gonna get married again, and one day he's gonna learn how to hit that ball again.
Yeah.
And he's gonna be worth $1 billion.
The only reason why he did what he did was because she was threatening to take his kids.
Well, she got the kids anyway.
That's why he. Well,
No. She can take the kids out of the stratosphere, as much money as she's got.
Right, but the thing about it is she was going to take him 100% with no attachments to him.
Mm.
So
I don't know
the situation, but there
by
are
him
times,
agreeing, he still get to see him.
There are times that you need a prenup. I mean, the next little honey he marries, just because he marries her, why does she get half?
But this is the thing. If you got that much money, why are you getting married in the first place?
Well, I mean, you know, there's nothing wrong with being married, but the bottom line is that you need to protect yourself because you really don't know the heart of somebody.
Paul McCartney.
Yeah.
Yeah, but man, what did she get, $150
million? You still try to find that one. I mean, you still try to.
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing wrong with being married. I mean, you don't want to be,
still
you know,
have that,
you know.
I'm trying to be like Kevin Federline.
Whole life. But, you know, you got to protect yourself. I mean, you know, what makes this little next
waitress, honey. I mean, what was Tiger's wife, a nanny?
Yes, that's the part that hurts me the most. She was a nanny.
Hey, a nanny cleaning toilets and running after little snotty-nosed kids?
And now she got a legacy.
3 years later, she's worth, $500 million or whatever? Come on.
Listen. He did that to himself. Even the chicks he was cheating on was cocktail waitresses, and they weren't even of the same financial status at all. Nowhere close.
Yeah.
So, I mean, when you get like that, I mean, if let's just say he married a Holly Berry, it would have been a total different outcome.
Yeah. God, Holly Berry.
He hasn't had a marriage that lasted either. So.
Yeah.
That's because she's crazy.
Yep. Yeah, but somebody like that is not going to take it. You know what I mean? It's like, okay, yeah, I got cake too. So if you want to go out there and act a fool, go ahead. I'm gonna be all right.
Yeah, because I think you're right about those waitresses and stuff. I mean, none of them were even in his league.
Nah, man. Come
paying
on.
That one.
But it wasn't about league. He wasn't chasing a league.
I mean, that one in New York that was really highly publicized and stuff. I think he had in a pair like $15 million just to keep her mouth shut.
Yeah. Come on, for some booty, $15 million.
That's
call girl, man. Get you some, some
call
girls that's paid to keep their mouth shut and keep it moving.
He had one of them too, well, a couple of them.
Yeah.
But they all came out,
Once they knew they can get the big money, I mean, it's free game then.
Now, we kind of on Tiger, but come on, guys, think about it. Think about how difficult it would be, all those fine honeys throwing it at you.
I would just go home.
You lying.
Yeah.
I mean, you're on the road, 35 weeks a year? And every place you go, some hot honey saying, hey, you know what? You can have this.
How did A.C. Green do it?
Mm-hmm.
Y'all remember A.C. coming on and talking? He was 42 years old, never even been near it.
Well, that's because, it's the atmosphere you put yourself in.
I'm just saying, that's a hard deal, man. We could say, all this stuff, but come on, man.
It is a hard deal.
I mean, I don't know, man. We get weak. How much you think you had to work for it?
But again, it's not, he still knew what he was doing. Before he was getting married, they were still coming out the woodwork. Think about it. He always had the opportunity to sleep with whoever he wants to sleep with. Period. So now you're getting married, it's no different. Now you just have a wife and you just can't do it.
But did the prenup ever help him?
No.
Nobody really knows what she got paid. It's just speculation.
She walked away with $100 million because they ended up settling on, and she walked away with $100 million.
Some people say she got $300 million.
Well, it doesn't matter.
The man is a billionaire.
We don't really know the deal.
Well, here's a good indication. She was going to take the kids and be ghost and live on an island somewhere.
Right.
She went from that to, I'm going to raise the kids in Florida close to Tiger. So there was some money paid for her to make that transition.
No doubt about it.
And it's probably what she wanted.
I really don't think money is the issue with Tiger.
Well,
I mean, Tiger is set for life, for many lives.
Yeah, but his wife probably said, in order for these kids to be in your life after what you did, you're going to pay.
Yep. Hey, ain't no doubt.
And that's what she did to him.
No doubt.
What he should have done.
Hey, do you blame her? I mean, how many of us would actually be with a wife after teen dudes ran trains?
He should have told the truth about her assaulting him. That's what he should have done.
Yeah.
Because I can't believe that he just didn't. I mean, I did this, but you still. I would have been like, man, she assaulted me. Lock her up.
No. You wouldn't have, man, because when you try to make
her conversation,
don't go down that road.
You just got caught cheating.
You don't do that.
You about to lose it all.
Looking for somebody that ain't been out there cheating and got caught.
Yeah.
See, when you get caught, you do anything to make it work.
Yeah. Honey, you ain't do nothing. Yeah. She ain't do nothing. She ain't hit me with nothing.
Nope.
She's the perfect wife.
That's right. I'm the one.
We don't want to go out of green days.
Yeah, if you in the wrong, in. Man, you in the wrong.
4 o'clock in the morning, come on in. Let me fix you some breakfast.
That's the bottom line, man, and you ain't going that way.
Yeah.
I've been in that spot. You know, and you know what? Even though he was doing that, he wasn't really liking it, and he was feeling bad about it.
Well,
and you can tell by his reaction when he got caught. Okay, because if his reaction was, "Hey, I don't care. That's right. I'm Tiger Woods." What he said, I'm going to sex rehab. I got a problem.
Well,
that's
see,
a guy
the thing
that
was,
doesn't feel good about what he did.
Yeah, because you're living a lie.
That's right.
You know, on the other hand,
and this might sound really crazy, hurt. But you're really kind of glad it came out.
Yes.
Because it's relief.
Yeah.
Now, I'm
yeah,
telling you from somebody that's been there.
Yeah, so now you don't have to be this perfect role model person that you, this perfect, flawless role model.
Double life. And you know, at first it's great.
Mm-hmm.
After a while, you're just going through the motions and you're trapped and don't know how to get out.
Yeah. Now speaking from a golf standpoint, he was the best golfer in the world. He had a beautiful wife, beautiful kids. He was a straight guy. Didn't really get any drama in his life. He was out there beating guys' heads in on the golf course, and they was afraid of him. Nobody wanted to test him. But once this thing came out, now you're flawed, dude. We don't respect you.
That's right.
We're coming right at you. And that's what you see going on right now. Tiger who? Oh, nah. You got issues, brother. We getting ready just – and now he's like third in the world, maybe fourth?
Fifth.
We found out you
fifth?
Were tossed in the paint.
Yeah, he's fifth. And it's the Mike Tyson syndrome.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
You know, until Buster Douglas bust him in the face, you know, I mean, he'd whiff by a guy and he'd fall down.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
After Buster Douglas took him? Mm-hmm. Hey.
Hey, everybody want to fight now.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's
and
Tiger
my next contract.
Yeah. And there's about five, maybe six guys on tour right now that are better than Tiger Woods. Today.
Oh, yeah.
He will never be number one again, as far as I'm concerned. Because I just don't see him surpassing because he no longer has the fear.
Never
they don't fear him anymore.
Drive. He doesn't have
now,
the drive.
Now, see, now that's where I disagree with you, Tony. I really think that he's going to get focused at some point. And
don't matter.
He'll be number one. He's got skills.
You're right, but
yeah.
So do they.
But
he
doesn't have
the bottom line is skills. And he's going to be like, bump this. All right,
the main problem with him,
I'm Tiger Woods, and I'm only three shots behind you, and the guys would freak out.
But you got to remember, he had a routine. See, he had a routine, and he's now off his routine. Now he doesn't have that drive. The drive was hanging out with going out to these parties, having sex with these little girls, going home, being a family man.
That's not it. I'm trying to tell you.
And going
it's
out there.
The fear factor. The fear factor is what
that's
made
right.
Tiger Woods who he is.
That's right. The fear factor. But you know what? You know what? I don't care how much fear factor you got. All right, dude had to pull some shots off.
You're right. But
okay.
He makes the other
it's
people
too,
playing against him
fall, okay.
And they start.
The
and they
didn't
start.
Go anywhere just because he got busted in the head with a golf club.
Yeah.
Dude still has the talent, and he's going to put it back together.
Okay.
Now, the fear factor is not going to be there.
No.
But the talent will be there. He'll never be what he was, but he'll win a bunch more golf tournaments.
Yeah. Listen, Andrew. The two this year that he's came close to coming down the stretch in the 18th hole, the two, I think it was two, this or last year, what he used to do to people, they did to him. One dude, McDowell, made three birdies in a row to take Tiger out from out of space. What he used to do to other people, now because they don't care anymore. The respect is not there. So if there's no respect, there's no fear. It's wicked, man. Wicked.
Yeah. I kind of enjoyed the talk about the freak that just loved doing it before, really.
Oh, yeah.
True.
Sure.
But, I mean, these are great.
Hey, wait. I got a question. Anybody on this call, besides me and Tony, met a chick that just loves it?
Everybody
yep.
hands up. You can't see them.
That's funny.
Well, some of y'all don't know what that's about.
I used to call it Meridian.
Meridian Hill?
Mississippi.
Oh, Meridian, Mississippi. Okay, I thought you were talking about the Howard dorm. I done had my share of that.
Listen, moving on. When Tony brought this up earlier, and I wanted to bring it back because we've got a lot of people on now. Manufactured love. Do you think that women get with men just because they got money?
Yes.
And then when, like, 2 years ago when the crisis hit and a lot of people lost all their money, they were running for the hills?
Yes.
That they didn't marry you for love. They married you just straight for your money.
Yes.
Speak on it.
No doubt. I mean, there's a bunch of gold diggers out there, man. You know, and you know, when you don't have two nickels to rub together, it don't matter. You know, but you know what? These women out here, they're looking around and going, okay, I'm 40 years old. I'm tired of marrying or getting with a dude because I love him. I want some security. They be like, dude owns his own company, flies around the world. That's the Negro I'm getting with.
Wow. Wow. Anybody else? Anybody?
I'm going to tell you, with me, I got to the point where, where I would meet women and talk to girls, and I'd just say, you know, they'd be like, what do you do? I'd be like, I'm a salesman. Oh, okay. My wife had no idea I owned a corporation with several locations for a long time.
Oh, man. Just because you didn't want to let her know. But isn't that you providing false pretenses in the marriage because you didn't be up front?
I mean, no. I mean, if you meet a girl and say, look, you know, I got a $1 million business. I own it. It's a whole different ballgame.
Yep.
I'm telling you, y'all may not know.
If you say I'm a shoe salesman or whatever, I'm just a salesman, and it turns out still the way it turns out, then it is what it is. But if you go in there and say, you know, I own a million dollar corporation, then what is it? Because we all know that in that situation, most people are going to be there for the $1 million corporation. That's security for the rest of my life.
Now, you think about the next woman that meets Tiger Woods. See, he can't come in on the sly.
No,
Tiger Woods. And, I mean, you know, I don't feel bad. I mean, he did what he did, okay? But, I mean, I don't get how a nanny can walk away with hundreds of millions of dollars.
Because he got caught.
I understand, man, but I still don't think it's right.
No.
Hey, but it's...
He ain't hitting that golf ball.
That's all right, but that's part of marriage.
I understand. But he built it before he met her.
The Bible says man must love his wife as he loved God.
I understand that. But she ain't hitting that golf ball.
But his job is to protect her.
I understand that, but she ain't hitting that golf ball 320. I hear what you're saying.
I just don't get how
a man can build, okay, let's just say Bill Gates got a divorce and married the next little honey that came around, and she was waiting tables. And 2 years later, she divorced him and walked away with $300 million.
That ain't right.
That ain't right. I don't care how you slice it.
Because you ain't done nothing to get there.
Nothing.
To
really
get there. All you did was showed up. All
right. Now the Bible says you can't serve two gods. You can't serve the God of money and serve God. Now, which one are you going to pick?
What do you mean, the God of money and God?
Yeah, you can't
just
serve
because
money
you,
or God.
Money doesn't mean you're serving it.
Hey, if you got millions, you're supposed to protect your wife. So it shouldn't matter about how much, if you got a dollar in your pocket or if you got $1 million in your pocket.
Yeah, but what does that mean? If you earned it, why does she get half?
Because she's your wife.
See, that's the part. I mean, just because you married Tiger Woods doesn't mean that 2 years later you can divorce him and take half. I don't ever agree with that.
And if you go to the internet right now and put up divorce.com in any state, that joker says half.
You know and
that,
I understand that. And if you built it together, if you were with me when I had nothing, and then you know, we built a billion-dollar company, you get half. But if you met me and I had a billion, and you cocked those legs for 3 years, why do you get half? When I had it before I met your skanky behind.
Well, hey, you said I gave you 2 kids.
Okay, well, I will take care of those kids.
I'm on your side, but I've just got to pay devil's advocate.
I hear you. I just can't go with that. It just doesn't work for me. Okay, who are you? You know, I got a real problem with it, and that's why I have no problem with prenups. Okay?
Well, prenup
because if you if I built it, why do you get half? See, ain't no snatch worth that.
Mm-hmm.
That's just what I...
That's a good word. Anybody else? Well, if that's it, it's 11:30. And I think we made it through another good night. A good two. And if anybody,
I would have to agree with that.
And if anybody doesn't, you know, have anything else, we can stop this and go to open mic.
Good.
Everybody good? Well, listen, before I cut this off, I just want to say thank you again for chiming in to another episode of www.householdstress.com and getting together as men to have a respectful call and help out marriages. I think if somebody listens to this later on, that they'll have some ideas of what to do's and don'ts. Hopefully this will help somebody out in the future, if it didn't help anybody out tonight. Also, we'll be here next week, and we'll have one of the head of households moderating, and have a good topic for you for next week. I don't know what that topic is. Tony, you got your topic yet? No, I don't think he has his topic yet, so we'll wait till next week.
Yeah, not yet.
All right, so thank you again. Also, please go to the website. Visit our website. It's brand new. It looks beautiful. It looks handsome, since we're all men on here. It has a lot of different things on there. It has a lot of good listening of old shows where you can click in and hear. And we add videos so you can have some more ideas of what we're going to be talking about during the weeks ahead. Check it out. There's also a blog page where you can go in there and blog about what you heard or during the week. If you have any questions you want to know, we'll talk about them during the week. Thank you again. And we are ending the show.